When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And this week we are talking about Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
Had you seen this movie before?
Yeah, I think I saw it when it came out. I don't think I've revisited it since. Maybe have seen some of the sequels. I can't remember.
I was like, oh, I've definitely seen this movie. And I started watching this movie and I was like, I have never seen this movie. I don't know how this happened. I should have already watched this movie. I don't know how it happened. But
maybe
yeah.
You ended up watching like Kung Fu Panda 3 or something. You're like, that's, yeah, no, maybe. I saw it. Like, I know the characters, but.
Well, like, I knew this kind of like the story a bit and like it was a really popular movie. So
it was, yeah.
I had definitely seen like clips of it kind of floating around or whatever, but I had never seen this movie before. It's good.
Yeah, it's fun.
I had a good time. I was like, Holmes Long, great plot line, good to go.
Yeah, good voice actors like Jack Black.
Like every time they talk about how, you know, we don't necessarily need all these actors to also be voice actors. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm like, with exception, though, and Jack Black being a major exception to that, where I'm like, oh, I want to hear Jack Black's voice on everything.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to hear that. You know what I mean? When he digs in, I just want that on absolutely everything.
I saw a post that this gets a little esoteric, but someone's like, people wonder in D&D how like a bard can do all these things. And then they're like, Jack Black is the bard. Like
that's
he's just like,
so true.
Where he's just so charismatic.
And oh,
that
my
he
God.
Just like wins you over and can, like, he seems like he's epic somehow
yes.
in everything he does. Yeah,
you know, that's so funny. I played D&D with a bunch of comics, and you know, Ryan Belville, he played a bard, and like, god damn, dude, I was this is the best bard I've ever seen. I was like, yes, of course you're doing all these things.
Yeah,
because he played a guy that he was a bard that was from the future and got dropped in.
Yes.
Like it was just like some band guy from Illinois or something like that. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yes. No, you're totally right. I'm going to think about that every time I play D&D now. That's
yeah,
so
yeah,
funny.
Yeah. There you go.
And if you guys, okay, so if you haven't seen this movie, first of all, you should watch it. It's a tight movie. It's really good. It's fun. Yeah. Watch this movie. Anyway, so it's all about obviously a panda who is obsessed with Kung Fu. His adoptive father, which is kind of never addressed, which I love.
Yeah.
They never address. He's like, I've got a secret to tell you. I have something to tell you. Anyway, so he's obsessed with Kung Fu, but his adoptive father runs a noodle shop, and he's like, you got to take over the noodle shop. What have you, right? So there's going to be a big ceremony about the passing of the Dragon Scroll, which I guess is like, what is it, like ultimate power kind of thing? Like it unlocks
the
this,
dragon warrior gets the ultimate power.
The ultimate power of the scroll
it.
Of by reading it. So they're going to be passing it on to one of the five members that they've been training. Po shows up, Kung Fu Panda shows up, and is given this scroll. While this is happening, we have our jumping ahead, but we have, I would argue, our villain, Tai Lung, has been in prison because he was trained by the master, what was his
Shifu.
Name? Shifu. Trained by Master Shifu. Shifu's like, I see darkness in you. Wouldn't give him the scroll, and then this guy's like imprisoned in the worst prison I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, horrifying. Horrifying conditions. I will be arguing this later. He is released, or he escapes, rather. He escapes in a In a way, I would argue he really deserves a scroll. Anyway, sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Anyway, he escapes, arrives. Kung Fu Panda during this time has been being trained after the master did not want to train him. Struggle, realizing that food is his motivator and that is the way to train him. A very quick training montage. Brilliant. Hums along. We then have our, he gets the scroll, finding that the scroll is nothing. It's a reflective surface.
I'm biting my tongue
you're
already.
You're all queued up to talk about this scroll. I can fucking tell. I love it. Okay, you're, yes. I'm so excited to talk about this scroll with you. Anyway, it's nothing. They end up fighting, you know what I mean? There's this big final fight. I keep wanting to jump ahead so fucking bad. I'm so sorry. Anyway, realizing that the secret ingredient or the secret was within you all along.
That's what the scroll man. More I think about this movie, the angrier
you're
I get at it.
So funny.
Like at first I was just like, "Wow, this will be a fun one." And then like it's been stewing for days.
You're
and I can't.
So funny. Anyway, basically roll credits. Like every happily ever after roll
you
credits.
You believe in yourself. You believe and in you yourself. Achieve your goals, yes. And you know, it's never the people you think. And all great messages for kids.
Yes.
I'm not gonna be arguing. Actually, I might be arguing that.
I love how upset you are. Like, I could just your facial expressions whilst going through this.
Yeah.
Has been great.
Yeah, recapping it, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's a...
You mother...
motherfucker. Oh, unreal. But guys, we're going to get to who we think the villains of this movie are in a second. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, TeePublic, teepublic.com. This episode is brought to you by them, and that is where you're going to find your next favorite tea. Guys, if you've been sleeping on TeePublic, don't anymore. Go there right now. What it is, do you have a fandom? Are you a fan of something? Mm. Do you want to see that fandom mashed up with some other fandom?
Now I'm thinking about, I'm like, you could probably get a Jack Black Bard shirt on there.
Yeah, probably. Google it.
Google
see what's
it.
Up.
See what's up.
Or go to tpublic.com and search it. And yeah, it's amazing. There's all these wonderful designs done by independent artists who get fair compensation for their work. And you get them on anything you want. One, really good quality tees. Good quality tees. You can get them on mugs. You can get them on notebooks, phone cases, whatever you want. So whatever like weird, wonky design that you want to broadcast the world, it's there.
That's right. I am drinking from a The Villain Was Right mug right now because I am a narcissist.
Yeah, we got all our Villain Was Right merch out there, our logos, a couple key phrases from the,
why not?
The podcast, a Science Me Craig t-shirt if you're so inclined.
Guys, so head on over to vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com to check out all of our merch and favorite designs from TeePublic. That's vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com. And again, thank you, TeePublic, for your continued support. And I've already said it.
Yeah.
I've already said it. I'm sorry. But who do you think are villains?
It's Tai Lung. Tai Lung. He's the main villain.
He is the main villain. I mean, I'm going to argue a few other ones that I'm like, well, yeah. Obviously you're a villain. This is wild.
Yes. I think there are people who are more to blame in this than Tai Lung. I'm also going to throw, as a very, very light villain here, I'm going to throw Tigress, the one of the five. She's sort of like the leader of the five, and kind of the one who's like, it's bullshit that Poe is here the most.
And yeah.
Yeah.
and yes. Okay.
Yes.
You're telling me we went through this whole thing. Okay. We're doing a ceremony. I've been training my whole life. Like they even cut back to her, like as a small, small child.
Yes.
Okay. So she's
adorable
been doing,
little CGI tiger.
So cute. Anyway. So yes, they cut back to her. And so she's been doing this her whole life. They have this whole ceremony. And you're telling me you're going for outside hire?
Oh no.
I think not.
I didn't think of it as outside hire, and a chill ran down my spine when you said that. I was like, oh, that is an outside hire.
That's absolutely outside hire.
I hate this even more now.
No, dude, that's what that is, right?
Yeah,
it's
you're
like
right.
You went through this whole promotion process. Okay.
The jumping through hoops. And in their case, literally.
Literally jumping through hoops. And you went for outside hire. Especially as a woman. I'm like, no. Under no circumstances.
Oh my God. Okay. Because let's go over this choosing scene a little bit, right?
Okay.
So we forgot to mention Oogway, who's the like old tortoise, who's like, today is the day that the dragon warrior will be picked.
Yeah,
he's kind of like this mystic guy who never explains his reasoning. He's the guy who originally defeated Tai Lung because no one else can.
Yes.
And he's just like, today's the day. So they hold this ceremony. They're doing all these fights between the five. And Oogway is like literally about to like point at Tigris.
Mm-hmm.
And then Po, who got locked out of the ceremony because he was trying to haul his noodle cart up the stairs, straps fireworks to his chair, shoots himself off into the sky, and plummets down in front of Oogway's finger as mm-hmm. he's pointing it. How, as a Tigris, are you not livid?
Oh, absolutely.
Like she's got that moment in her heart where she goes, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. You know that like flutter you get? She has that, and then it's just going to drop like a stone as soon as she realizes this unqualified, out of shape.
Yep.
Hasn't done kung fu a day in his life.
No, not really.
Gets the thing because this fucking mystic turtle says, oh no, there's no accidents actually. So the fact that he dropped in front of me is how it's supposed to be.
Oh yeah, the no accidents. I'm like, oh God, this guy's just like charging crystals in the moon, isn't he? Good Lord. He's like, are you a Sagittarius?
I mean... As much as I dislike the charging crystals in the moon sort of mm-hmm. thing, if you're a turtle that can turn themselves into lotus petals and drift away into
maybe
I'll listen to you.
Okay, but there's something that bothers, and this is like a different section of the movie, but there's something that bothered me so much because it reminded me so much of that scene in The Matrix when he's talking to the Oracle of like, what's okay. really going to fry your noodle later is if I didn't say anything, would you have broken it? Right.
So he goes, I had a vision that Tai Lung is going
to
escape.
Is going to escape. I'm going to send someone to put this in motion to like, and that's the thing that puts it in motion. Because if that bird isn't there, he never gets out.
Yeah. Was it? I forget if it was Oogway who sent it or was it Shifu? Because I think Oogway even said sometimes trying to avoid your fate is what causes it to happen.
Yes.
I think it was Shifu who, I think Oogway
either way,
was like, I had a vision this will happen. And then Shifu sends the bird. So like one feather drops off the bird and
Tai unlock Lung himself. Yeah.
Picks all his locks and defeats hundreds of guards and escapes. I think Oogway is like, I think he's a little bit of a villain for just being so, I know it's a point that he's mystical, but like, do you know how frustrating it would be to work for a boss who's never like clear on what he wants?
Oh yeah. Never gives you the full assignment.
Yeah. Oh. And in your mind, does Oogway knows what's in the scroll, right?
Yeah. I think he took a peek.
Yeah.
I think he probably took a peek.
Like
yeah.
He knows.
He knows. Yes. For sure he knows. Oh, yes. He knows and he should just be... It's so frustrating to me because I'm like, why wouldn't you just be showing this to everyone and be like, is this it? Is this what you're fighting for?
It's...
A lesson that everyone should learn?
Yeah. a lesson that would be feature prominently in a children's cartoon even?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
so
is
funny.
Okay. So let me just talk about the scroll for a quick minute. One, it is slightly impressive that at this stage in history, I don't know what stage in history it is because they're anthropomorphic animals. I doubt they had the same dynasties that China had. But in any case, they're like, it's pretty impressive that they have a reflective material that thin that day and age. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, mirrors at this point are going to be, like, polished bronze, or they're going to be, like, reflecting pools, that sort of thing. So the fact that they've got, like, a Mylar sheet in this scroll that reflects your thing back, pretty impressive.
At no point did I think of that.
Of course.
I love that. Please, why, please continue.
Why would you?
No, of course, why would I? Yes.
Why would I is another question. And I think you'd learn something about me if we could answer that question. I can't.
Yeah.
But just the fucking bullshit of, here is this carrot that we're going to dangle in front of you,
yeah,
for your entire life to motivate you and to make you. And the ultimate power is that you just need to believe in yourself. It was in you the whole time. Okay. And then to fucking deny that to people.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because it's like, you can't have this power. I was just like, infuriated. Infuriated. Are you telling me that at no point in their lifelong, and I mean lifelong, not like I graduated high school, got a job until 65, that kind of life. I mean, like, from birth, training, no one ever was like, believe in yourself. The secret is to believe in you. Fuck.
Yes. And furthermore, not that this is as frustrating as the scroll for sure, but like when his dad's talking about what the secret ingredient in is, and he's just basically like, I just make it good. Like,
yeah.
you gotta make it good. I'm like, I would pop off on my parents. I would lose my freaking mind if one of them said that to me. They'd be like, oh no, the secret is you just gotta do better. Like, you gotta make it good.
Right. And it would even be there's no secret ingredient is such a worse lesson than, you know what the secret ingredient was? Time, dedication, and practice.
That's
the secret ingredient. And because I've made you work so hard to figure out what the secret ingredient is, congratulations, you have the secret ingredient. That, I think, is a more valuable lesson than there is no secret ingredient.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I like that pitch a
consistent
lot.
Consistent,
yeah,
effort over a long period of time results in success.
That's a good point. Yes.
Which brings me to an interesting fact, which I looked up.
Of course you did. Continue.
Yes. So Kung Fu.
Okay.
In China. Mm-hmm. So it has been come to known in Western culture as martial arts. Kung Fu in China is just any study, learning, or practice that requires energy and time to complete. So its original meaning, Kung Fu, refers to any discipline or skill that you need time and dedication to win. So just called it Kung Fu, like it's Kung Fu, yeah, martial arts, essentially.
Okay.
But there's like a Kung Fu tea ceremony that you need to like practice and get good
at.
Oh,
cool.
So literally Kung Fu just means time, patience, and persistence. Which, again, the fact that this panda just shows up and learns how to be a great fighter and is like the so-called chosen one within like, what, 3 days? 3 days, maybe, tops.
Although I will say this, I understand being motivated by food.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand that. I get it.
Sure.
Yeah. If you were giving me donuts, I'd probably learn how to do the splits pretty quick. I'd probably do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little jelly filled. Absolutely.
There is a good lesson in there in terms of like learning to teach or even learning to self-teach is like, what does motivate you? What is your thing?
I'm constantly thinking about that.
Yeah.
Because I am someone that has, I don't think I've ever denied myself a little treat. Not once.
No.
Not once. No. In my adult existence, the second my mind goes, I think I want that thing, I do it. I get it. I do whatever. I'm like, I never stop myself. So what I try and do is I try and pair it with something productive.
Oh, great.
Where I'm like, okay, like, I do really want this thing, or like, okay, like the other day, this is a fucking bullshit tangent. I'm sorry. But like the other day I was like, okay, there's these empanadas in Toronto. They're my absolute favorite. And they're a little pricier, but I'm like, I'll get a big box, whatever. But I have to do my taxes first. And I did my entire taxes. And I was like, okay, great. Now I'm going to go get the empanadas.
Yeah, that's kind of how you had to do it. That's
life,
right?
But I'm like, that's such a child thing to do. clean your room and then you get a chocolate bar.
But it works, right?
Oh, it because works on me. I'm a fucking kid. Yeah. Fuck it.
Where I do sort of the same thing, where I've got this phrase where I'll just be like, I'm making lunch in the kitchen. Yeah. And I'll just say like, you know what, Kat? Like, Kat will just be like sitting around and be like, fuck it. I'm having a Coke. And I'll have a Coke. And I say that so often.
I'm having a Coke.
That I'll just say, you know what, Kat? Fuck it. And she'll go, you're having a Coke? And I'm like, yeah. And I have a little Coke for lunch and I don't feel bad about
it. That's adorable. That's very cute.
But you know
like
what I
that.
Mean? Like motivated by different things.
Yes.
And I think the idea that you should be like motivated for motivation's sake isn't very sustainable.
Oh, not at least not in me, man. Everybody's different. Like,
true.
I talk to some people like I think they're lunatics, okay? Like, I actually think they're lunatics, where they're like, you're not grinding unless you're up at, like, 3 a.m. I'm like, what are you talking about, okay? But they do it. Like, they wake up soon, or whatever. That 3 a.m. is an exaggeration, but, like, they wake up, it's just, like, it's all day, it's going, I go to the gym, I go to work, I've got my meal plan, like, whatever the thing is, and that makes my brain melt.
It does.
But good for you, dude. Like, you're doing you. Great job. I have to make my bed so I don't get back into it. Do you understand?
It's not that fucking Jordan Peterson the fucking start the day with a thing.
No. It's like, I need to lock this down because this will call me. This open blanket will call me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great way to but that is how you do it. You set your environment up for success.
Yes.
Right. yeah.
Or at least in my mind. Sorry, our TED Talk.
No, but I will say this. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's talking about that grind thing. One, they call it a grind because it wears you down and it's not sustainable.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little metaphor. Look into how you sharpen something and you don't grind it. Right. You grind it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's maintenance, right?
It's maintenance.
Strop it with a nice, gentle thing and it keeps the thing on. You get rid of the burr. It's a delicate thing. If you grind it too much, it ruins the blade, is what I'm going to say. The other part of that with the grind, we're like up at 3 a.m. or up at 4 a.m. or 6 a.m. No measure of success for me has ever involved getting up early. Like if I'm a fucking billionaire, but I have to get up at 3 a.m. every morning, I am not a successful person.
I have gone wrong somewhere.
Yeah, I've made a...
That's
like,
so funny.
I would sit there on my yacht being like, I've made a terrible mistake.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. What are you doing if not to live better?
Yeah, no definition of success ever involves me getting up early.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
I'm even
so
like
true.
A natural morning person. Like I'll get up at like 7 or 8 a.m. Oh, just naturally. I'll wake up and be ready to go. I know, and that's painful to people.
I have it. No.
But the idea of waking up earlier than that just to like get it in on the day, awful.
No. Although I will say there was like, I've had a big work week and there was a couple of days this week where I had to wake up early. Like I had to wake up like 8:30 or whatever for 9. And, wow, the amount of shit I got done. I was like, holy Hannah, this is a different world, eh?
Yeah.
You guys are doing stuff.
Well, for years I was getting up at like 5:30 a.m. to get into work for like 6. So like I would beat traffic. Like it's just an absolute awful lifestyle. But you do hold this little bit of pride that you're like, look at me. I'm getting more done before 10 a.m. than most people get done in the day. And then as soon as you don't have to do that anymore, it just dissolves. It's like tissue paper and water. It just, you're like, oh, that was never important. That was a lie I was telling myself. All this to say.
Yeah, that was the longest tangent. Oh,
no,
my God,
but
so
I think
funny.
It's I think it matters.
Okay.
And what motivates people. Because let's focus in on Tai Lung. Mm. So Tai Lung, we see his backstory. And it's he was dropped off at the monastery.
Yeah.
He was raised by Shifu from a baby.
Yes.
Trained to be the best martial artist probably ever. Constantly seeking his approval.
Yes.
And being like, I just wanted you to be proud of me. He says that as they're fighting near the end.
It made me so sad.
I just wanted you to be proud of me.
Because like a big theme in this movie is just father-son relationships.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're
right.
It actually is. Like, yeah. it's a big theme in this of like approval and not wanting to maybe say the truth or like being pushed too hard in one direction or whatever. Yeah.
So yeah, he's been pushed by one of the greatest kung fu masters ever to be the best, being told that like you're going to be the dragon warrior. You're so good. This is your goal. The scroll is your destiny. This is what you're bound to do. And then told you can't have that because you're not worthy.
Or like I see darkness in you. And it's like, you raised me.
Right?
What are you talking about?
You raised me. You told me
so
this
is the path.
You're
just saying there was like this seed at birth? Yeah. I think not.
Yeah. Oh, what darkness do you see in me? That violence is maybe the only thing I've ever been taught in my life?
Oh,
is that maybe
yeah.
the darkness that you see inside of me?
Sweet baby Jesus. I was so upset at that.
Yes. And then, so I think he got screwed over before we know what's in the scroll, right?
Oh, yes.
So he loses it. They say he destroyed the valley. I don't know how much he destroyed it. And I think an argument could be made that the town is basically in service of the monastery or the temple. Mm-hmm. And you could sort of see attacking that as an institution being valid, right? Like, I don't think there is a town with a temple. I think it's a temple with a town that supports it.
Yes. I would also like to make the argument that I don't think it's possible. I think all of these characters just die of old age. I don't think violence ever actually kills them.
Well, except at the end.
What do you mean?
When the Kung Fu Panda uses that finger grab on him with he flicks his pinky, and then there is that like gold explosion that happens. I'm just saying, if you replace that with what I'm going to argue is a more accurate red mist, that's way that's way less whimsical.
Yeah. Because
Shifu even says he almost uses it on Po earlier, and he goes, "It's super easy. The hardest part is the cleanup." That basically means that this little move vaporizes a person.
Yes.
So
okay.
So Po, our hero, vaporizes the villain.
Which is so, I don't, okay.
So I agree with you, like most people die of old age, but there's at least one very violent death in this movie.
Well, yes, but this guy doesn't know how to do that. And I'm going to make the argument, I don't think he like killed it. You know what I mean? There might've been some like damage, but yeah. I think everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine.
Yeah. And I'm going to make, and
we've already said this, but I'm going to make a hard argument that for every character that you watch do stuff in this movie, that guy deserved the scroll the most.
Yeah.
Absolutely the most talented person out of all of them.
Yes.
Escapes the most insane prison I've ever seen. So this character's been in solitary confinement in like the most wild way I've ever seen, like full body lock.
Yeah.
Can't move. I don't think anybody ever deserves that.
No. And no one's coming out of that well adjusted.
Ooh.
And be like a reformed member of society.
No,
like,
no. No, that's not good.
No.
And was sent by like his own father pretty much.
Yeah. For not
tough stuff,
real tough stuff.
Tough stuff, you know.
20 years in prison, and first of all, 20 years in prison, tied up, immobile, and then he still has the strength and agility to do that. Rebecca, I need to take a lap before I can do something after getting out of bed in the morning.
Buddy, you this know? Morning, I bought a lamp. this is why I'm so...
Do it. I'm in for...
I bought a lamp off of like an auction website. And because it was like pretty close to my... It was like a 15-minute walk from my place, right? So I walk down, I get this, it's like a big lamp or whatever. And the guy's like, oh, like, you should take the bulbs out if you're going to put it in your car. And I was like, oh no, I'm just carrying this bad boy. And he's like, okay, whatever. I'm like, I'm a maniac. I'll walk down the street with that shit, whatever. And I'm walking, I have to go downhill first and then I'm walking uphill and I'm walking uphill with this lamp. And all I keep thinking is, holy fuck, I got to go to the gym. Holy fuck, I got to go to the gym. Because I was just like, I got like halfway up that hill and I was like, I am tired.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Yes.
I shouldn't be at this stage in my life.
So how could you be chained up for 20 years and then do like backflips and run across a falling bridge?
Buddy, if I sit too long, I have to make a noise to get up.
Yes.
If I don't make the noise, I can't get up. Right? I got to go. Huh, like huh.
It helps somehow. I know. And so here we got Tai Lung, who escapes the prison with 1,000 guards, I think they said. 1,000 guards, yeah. One prisoner. Then goes and defeats the five, the Furious Five or whatever
that have been training their whole lives.
Training their whole lives. And currently,
yes,
like they are up to speed. Yep. They worked out this morning sort of thing.
Yeah, they've gotten all the new updates. Everything.
Yeah, they got their current, defeats all of them in 5-1 combat.
Mm-hmm.
And if the goal is to believe in yourself, nobody believed that they were the dragon warrior harder than Tai Lung. Nobody.
Absolutely.
Oh, the one thing is you never believed in you. Fuck off, he believed in himself. He believed in himself so hard you put him in prison.
Yes, and I love your point of why are you denying this lesson from people? That's my favorite part, because obviously I 100% believe that fucking turtle, that tortoise, knew
yeah
what was in that scroll.
Yeah, like I think there is the implication that he was sort of the original dragon warrior.
Okay.
Like in my head canon anyway. I don't know. Like
that makes sense to me, because he's got all the moves and what have you. But yeah, like... I would just be, you know, at a certain point where I'm like, okay, now it's time for your graduation. Here you go. It's a life lesson.
Believe in yourself and you'll always do fine.
So insane.
But also, believe in yourself is kind of shitty advice. You know, like it's, I mean...
Like do tell it's, Craig, it's, why is that shitty advice?
I don't know. It's not bad advice, and I guess it's very basic advice.
Okay,
but like just believing in yourself isn't enough, right? Like you have to believe that you can work hard enough to accomplish your goal, right?
Yes,
it's like you know what it is. They don't finish the sentence. It's believe in yourself that you can work hard enough to finish the goal. Believe in yourself that mm-hmm. whatever obstacle you encounter or any challenge or hiccup, that you can work hard enough to overcome it, or that you're smart enough to overcome it, and that you will, and maybe not the first time or whatever. It's like we're doing this to instill confidence in kids.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we build them up so they have the confidence to solve, let's say, math problems, right? Mm-hmm. They use it in like, we want kids to be confident in math. The complete sentence is, we want you to be confident that if you stick with it long enough,
yeah,
you will figure it out. Like, it's not just blanket confidence. And it's not
although I will make the argument, I have seen blanket confidence work sometimes. I have seen it pay off. Okay, I have.
I know, and isn't it infuriating?
Yeah, man, it is kind of frustrating when you just see somebody just like, there is something about people that just do. They don't question, they just do, and they go, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, like just do in the sense of they never second guess themselves.
Yeah.
And I guess that's believe in yourself. But yes. Like, and I guess maybe then Tai Long doesn't need that advice. Because he seems like a just do kind of guy.
Oh, he really is a just do it kind of guy for sure. He's literally jumping up rocks.
He's jumping faster than gravity.
Yes. Okay.
Like, and probably two or three times faster than gravity.
I was scream laughing during that scene. I was like, give him the scroll. Give him the scroll. I was like, I have seen no character do this.
No, he's one of clearly them, the best.
I'm like, listen, I don't want to be rude, but one of them's an insect. Okay, clearly he was not in the running. I mean, clearly.
Yeah. The tiger, the monkey, for sure. Monkey voiced by Jackie Chan, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the snake, venomous snake.
Yep. No, definitely not the insect with Seth Rogen's voice.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you put Seth Rogen in. He sounds high no matter what. I don't know if he was high. I don't care. He sounds high.
Yeah. Don't give it to him. He's like screwing up the acupuncture and stuff. I did like that scene.
Oh,
too.
No. I love hearing his voice, but I'm just like, you always sound stoned. Like, you just
it's
always the, sound
it's
stoned.
It's a little chuckle there.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Speaking of his new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, looks fire. Love it. I'm so
I don't
excited.
Even, okay, listen, and I just was never a big
Turtles
fan. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, it kind of missed me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the trailer for this movie and I was like, my cinematic dick is so hard right now.
Right?
I will absolutely go watch this.
I was like, oh, they're children.
The style is cool. Yes.
They're children.
Yes.
Of course they are, because teenagers are children. Why hasn't anybody thought of this before?
Yes. Oh my God. You know what's so weird with this movie? I'm pretty confident I'd never seen it before. And I watched it Friday morning, and every Friday afternoon I go, I do an hour of kickboxing, right? And I go in and there's like, because it's like, I think it's like March break or something right now or whatever, right? They had all the kids in early. And one of the trainers for the children comes up to me. He's like, I don't know. I hope you don't mind. Like, we're going to all be watching Kung Fu Panda. I hope that's okay. And I was like, there is no way I was like, dude, I watched that literally like 2 hours ago. I've never seen this movie in my freaking life.
And then suddenly it's everywhere.
It's just in my life. I'm like listening. I'm like, oh yeah, that scene. Yep.
Yep. What was that? Bader-Meinhof syndrome?
Oh, where it just like where you hear something and then it just starts showing up everywhere.
Yeah. And it's mostly because
now, you would notice it now.
You notice it because you're aware
yes.
of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
Where if you'd been like, oh, okay, Kung Fu Panda, and you probably wouldn't have even
registered that they were watching or whatever. But the fact that it was 2 hours out and I
crazy.
Had never seen this movie before, I was like, that's kind of wild. That's so weird.
It's a sign for you to believe in yourself.
There's no coincidences.
There's
and
no
I just
accidents.
Like explode into like flower petals.
Yeah. And just to double back on Tigris for a minute, because mm-hmm. we sort of talked about how Shifu raised Tai Lung.
Yes.
Right. And then Tigris is like, oh, yeah, he was betrayed. And then he's never been happy ever again. He's gotten colder and harder. And the flashback we see of her as a kid is basically him showing her no love and no appreciation. And you go like,
fuck, you want to get some evil in some kids. That's a great way to
eh? Just train them in violence and never show them any sort of happiness or support or that you're proud of them or like.
Yeah.
You know what should have been in that scroll? Hug your damn kids.
Jesus Christ, yes.
Hug your damn kids.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's really crazy that the lesson he took from Tai Long is like, oh, I gotta be harder. I gotta
gotta close myself off. Gotta not open up.
Yes, especially when you're training children. That's so insane.
Yeah, And there's another sort of very small villain in Poe's dad, Mr. Ping, I think.
Oh, why?
Oh, well, I think maybe more so in like a movie stereotypes, he's the villain, where he's the parent that is saying, you can't follow your dreams, follow in my footsteps instead. And I gotta say, he is the lightest version of that.
Oh, he's so cute.
He's so sweet.
I love him.
When Poe comes down and says that he was dreaming of noodles, he's like, oh, it's the noodle dream. Yes, the noodle dream. Oh, my heart, it's so full. I love you so much. Oh, I'm going to pass on this thing to you. And you're like, oh, my God.
I am melting. Like, yes, I love that.
That is actually the hard thing where you're like, well, just tell your parent what you want to do. And they're like, oh, they love you so much and are so happy that you...
No, I get that, but that's why I don't even think he's really a villain, because I don't think they ever really have that, like, fallout conversation of, like, no, you can't do that, like, you're whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he comes around really quickly.
Yeah.
And Poe has never expressed this, really, it feels like.
He hasn't. And, I mean, how much... I'm not a parent. I don't know. It's got to be so hard to try and support your kid in something that you know they're shit at.
Dude,
natural talent is not distributed evenly. And like,
no.
One
time we were pulling out photos. I was pulling out photos with my family. And I pulled up this one photo. One year I did softball when I was like, whatever, I was like 12.
Sure.
Okay, I did softball. And I turned the photo around to my dad and I was like, Dad, remember when I played softball? And he starts laughing so hard. He's like, yeah, you were terrible.
Right? And what if that had been your dream?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He laughed so hard. He was like, yeah, you were just terrible. I was like, oh, I just thought I quit because I didn't like it. Apparently I quit because I was bad at it.
But maybe you didn't like it because you
I was
were bad
at
it.
Yeah, probably.
Slight Fableman spoiler here for you. But there's a line near the end where the dad says, it's about Steven Spielberg's life.
Oh, okay.
Right, basically. Him as a kid and his parents, but it's like, you know, fictionalized. And his dad, who is always being like, no, you got to go to school. You got to get a real job. Don't like film is a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Just says to him, like, I know if this is what you want to do, fine. Because like, I know that you like whatever you put your mind to, you're going to work like hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that's kind of what you instill in your kids. But also it's Steven fucking Spielberg, you know, like the movie is showing him being very good at filming things the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Like, who has a joke about Shaq's dad abandoning him? I think it might be Dylan Gott.
I'm not sure.
Who's like, that kid came out like, you know, already 3 feet long at birth, and his dad was like, nah, this guy's not going to turn into anything. Anyway, yeah, all that to say, be supportive.
Yes. And like, I don't find his dad particularly unsupportive.
No.
I just think he's really excited.
Yeah.
And hopes he wants to do.
Yeah, even when they're getting evacuated, he's like, this is a great opportunity. We're going to build a new restaurant. Maybe even with a kitchen you can stand up in this time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man.
Different veg.
Yeah. Yeah, we're spice and veg. The future's in vegetable soup.
Yeah. When he's talking about how he's like, I almost went into tofu. Like,
<Yeah. laughs>
would have been crazy.
I also want to say, I love all the ducks in this. I don't know why. I find the ducks so funny,
charming,
the way that
funny.
They're animated.
Yes.
And they look like ducks. Like,
yes, because ducks are funny.
Ducks are funny. They kind of waddle their butt a little bit too much. And like,
no, ducks are funny, man.
Ducks are the jack of all trade of animals, is what I'm going to say. They're not good on land. They're not particularly good at flight. I think they're decent water animals, but like, they're not the best at all three.
No, they're funny.
They can't outswim a fish. They can't outfly an eagle. They can't outrun shit.
It's going to be my new thing. Anytime I go on a mediocre date, I'm going to be like, that guy was a duck. Fucking quack, quack. Jesus. I was
dad
a motherfucking
ass, Oh wow, that ruined you.
Yeah, it just broke me. I don't know why that. I think because you said "dat ass" though. I've never heard you say anything like that ever. I think.
Yeah, that might
I wasn't
have been
a, I wasn't ready for that to come out of your
that
mouth.
That might have been a first for me.
Yeah, I don't think. I think that's why that broke me down. I wasn't ready.
Oh yeah, oh okay. Anyway, tear down the institution of this monastery. Stop teaching kids violence. Share the belief that you're enough, or believe in yourself.
You could literally put that on a mural on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a secret.
It's like that Get Confident Stupid poster. Oh God, I love the idea that in their dojo or whatever it is, that they just have dojo might be that's Japanese, so it's not definitely not a dojo. But that they have just those inspiration posters, like, you know, they see in like offices and schools, they're like soar, and it's like a picture of an eagle. It's like, put your mind to anything and you can do
it. Yes. That's exactly what this mirror is. That is exactly correct. Yes, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Are we ready for our ranking of the villain?
Yeah.
I've got the secret ingredient scale. So from just a basic secret ingredient to a sacred family cookbook.
Ooh.
I am going to give Tai Long. I'm going to give him your aunt's famous potato salad. The secret ingredient is actually that she just kind of doesn't wash the potatoes right, but you don't care. It tastes fucking delicious.
A little earthy.
It's a little dirty, but you know what? Fuck it.
Love it.
Love it. I'll eat it.
Yeah. The secret ingredient was mayonnaise. Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. All right. you love it. So I've got the bullshit lesson scale.
You're so mad. I love it.
I'm so mad. unreasonably mad is what I would say for a children's movie. So the bullshit lesson scale. So on a scale from the real treasure was the friends we made along the way.
That's okay, yeah.
Bullshit. Give me the fucking treasure. I'd have made friends on my own accord. To everything happens for a reason.
Oh, God.
No, it doesn't. I'm going to give Tai Lung a believe in yourself, because no one believed more than he did.
Yes. That is factual.
He believed so hard.
So fucking factual, man. Oh, my God. All right, team. Well, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, as always, there are a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. If you guys have a couple of bucks, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. We cover movies that maybe the villain wasn't right in, and we just want to talk about them. Or maybe you want us to talk about them. This month, I picked a Patreon request. We're covering the anime Your Name, which is honestly, it's a banger. Guys, if you want to head over there, we also have ad-free tiers, audience choice every single month. And if you would like to follow us.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at VWR Podcast and Villain Was Right on Facebook. We are also at Villain Was Right on Instagram and TikTok. So if you want to see Rebecca scream laugh in real life, didn't realize that we hadn't posted that visually before, but huge reaction of people seeing that for the first time. Head on over to those Instagram or TikTok for that. Little clips from the show. And if you have a suggestion for us, this was an audience suggestion, like most of these are, you can email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. That's villainwasright@gmail.com. And let us know what you think of the show, or leave a quick description of why you think the villain was right in a movie. And we'd love to hear from you. And guys, now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got a hero this week.
Yay,
a nice hero.
Me too.
Mildly food related, so I thought, you know, it'll tie in with this. So I was out just like running around and went to like a burger place for lunch, right? Like fast food burger place. And it was Harvey's, just to make sure. I'm so fucking Canadian. Anyway.
It was a Harvey's.
It was a Harvey's. That was that. That's a chain that doesn't exist outside of Canada. Anyway,
it's where you can get it your way.
Yeah, you get to dress it up, which should be in every hamburger
it
place.
Literally,
really should.
It kind of is though.
Yeah. I guess they do it in front of you like Subway. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Anyway, so I'm like, but it's like slightly early, like for lunch. Like it's, you know, like kind of 11:30, 11:40, like that sort of thing, like before like the main rush hits. So it's basically me and this other woman standing there waiting for our hamburger to be cooked, right? We've already paid. And it's kind of that like gray winter day and everyone's just kind of like staring ahead and, you know, not really talking to each other or, you know, anything like that. And then she's ahead of me in line. So her order comes up and she goes, "Oh, thank you. This is my last hamburger in a while. So I'm really looking forward to it." And I just go like, "Oh, why?" And she goes, "Oh, I'm getting my wisdom teeth out." And I was like, "No, that sucks." She's yeah. like, I know, right? And I was like, "So you've got to have like, you're going to be like drinking like milkshakes and stuff for like weeks." She goes, "No, because you can't use a straw because they don't want you sucking for the thing." And I was like, "Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh my God, that's terrible." She's like, "Right? And the worst part is I've got a business meeting tomorrow." And I was like, this is like a Tuesday, right? Yeah. And I'm like, "They're not doing it on like a Friday, so you have the whole weekend to recoup?" She's like, "No." And I was like, "That sucks." And she goes, "I know." And then, and then I was like, "Enjoy your hamburger." And she's like, "I will." And it was just kind of this like very
so
light
funny.
Like and yeah. it turned what was otherwise kind of just a grim transaction mm-hmm. into like, "Oh, this is a real human moment." So aww. She's my hero.
That's so cute.
I hope her wisdom teeth surgery went well.
Oh, you're
and
so
I hope
cute.
She enjoyed her
that.
Hamburger.
Oh my God. I have a light one too. I have a hero of it. This was just like my honestly maybe my most favorite audience interaction, at least for a very long time. This woman made me laugh so fucking hard. Okay, so I'm on this show called After Hours at a comedy bar every Friday, Saturday, 11:30. This show is like can be a shit show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not a shit show, a literal shit show in the sense of like it can get so chaotic. It's like the end of the night. Sometimes the comedians show up drunk. Sometimes the audience is wasted. It's just like a anything goes kind of evening, right? And I'm a pretty blunt gal already, even at a 7 o'clock show. So once we roll over to 11:30, I'm really not holding back, right? So at the end of I'm closing my set and I say to the audience, I'm like, "Does anybody here wax their pussy?" That is exactly what I say, right? I say, "Does anybody here wax their pussy?" Right. And this one girl at the front, this young woman at the front is like shaking her head, like really violently, like, no, right? Like big, big shake, right? So I'm like, she must have something to say about this, right? So I look at her and I go, "Hey," like, I was like, "Oh, you seem really against this. What do you do?" And she looks at me and she goes, "Oh, me? I'm a student." And I laughed so fucking hard at that. That is the funniest fucking thing you could have said. "Oh me, I am a student." And I just looked at her and I was like, "Never change, you sweet baby angel." I was like, "You're perfect. Do not change. Do not let anyone tell you otherwise." And I closed my set on that because I couldn't stop laughing. It caught me off guard so much. It made me laugh so hard. I was like, "You are so pure."
Yeah.
It's just so nice. I loved it. No notes. She is absolutely my hero of the week.
Love it. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, so that's it for us. As always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook or Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates. And that's it for us this week on the podcast. Tune in next week when we are going to be doing Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. another Adam Sandler joint for you. So tune in for that. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you there's no secret ingredient.
'The Villain Was Right' is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.